The Buddha once said that acts of merit are, in and of themselves, happiness. That covers generosity, virtue, and the development of goodwill. Under the heading of virtue, you've got not only the 5 precepts, but also the 8, the 10, the 227 precepts that the monks take. When you compare the 5 to the 8, we see that the 8 basically add the principle of sense restraint to the 5. The precept against no eating after noon or before dawn puts restraint on your tongue. The precept against shows, perfumes, decoration, music puts restraint on your eyes, your ears, your nose. And of course, the precept against comfortable beds puts restraint on your body. And then the changing of the 3rd precept from no illicit sex to no sex period puts restraint on all your senses. So the question sometimes arises, where is the pleasure in restraint? And the answer, the short answer, is you have to look for it. To look for it, you have to want to look for it. It's there. You can find it. But it depends on how you approach the whole issue of observing these precepts. You have to remember the Buddhist statement about the different aggregates, that what we experience in terms of form, feeling, perceptions, thought constructs, consciousness, is based on what we fashion out of the potential for these things. We have certain intentions that make us fashion these aggregates. That applies to feelings of pleasure and pain. The pleasure you're going to find out in the precepts is something you have to fabricate. You do that because you're wise enough to see that you're going to be making a trade. That's your motivation. You're trading something inferior for something superior. And you feel good about yourself because you can do that. It's a skill. For example, the fabrication of directed thought and evaluation, how you talk to yourself. I remember when I was first ordained, I wasn't happy to be taking on all those precepts, particularly the ones that put some restraints on sensual pleasures, no eating afternoon, that kind of thing. And then one day I realized it was because I was observing these precepts that people were putting food in my bowl. It's because I was observing these precepts that I had time to meditate. They actually opened the way to freedom. So instead of perceiving them as restraints, as prisons, I could see that they were actually opening the door to freedom. That changed the whole perspective, my whole attitude. And once you change your attitude, then it's easy to find pleasure in the different precepts. Then the ways you can perceive it, not only is freedom from prison. The canon talks about comparing the life going forth with my home life. You have to realize that these 8 precepts are the precepts of a life going forth. Even if you live at home and have a family, when you're observing the 8 precepts, your mind has gone forth. And the mind that's gone forth, as the Buddha said, is like a polished shell as compared to a mind that is a dusty road. Another comparison is between a swan and a peacock. I said the peacock is beautiful, but in terms of flying, it's no match for the swan. The swan is much more aerodynamic, can fly much farther, go much faster. The peacock is weighed down by all its sensual pleasures, which are symbolized by the feathers of the peacock. If you've ever seen a peacock fly, it's pretty awkward. You have aerodynamic precepts, an aerodynamic mind. You can go farther, you can go faster. And you're putting aside all these things that would weigh you down. Other images from the canon are freedom from slavery. When you have to follow the dictates of your eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body. In other words, your mind's desire to find pleasures in these things. You're a slave to them. Do you keep going to shows or wanting to have entertainment, which especially nowadays with the internet and AI, you can entertain yourself just any way you want. You're like the devas up in the fifth and sixth levels of the sensual heavens, those who enjoy creating pleasures and those who are in charge of the creations of others. When you tell AI to do something, you're on the Bharata-nimitta level. And those devas are famed for being really lazy, getting entertained all the time. Imagine what kind of habits they pick up. Whenever there's a little itch, they scratch it, a little itch, they scratch it. And of course, when you keep on scratching, it doesn't solve the problem. Things get worse and worse. You get used to getting tickled here and there. What kind of mindset is that? What kind of habits are those? You remember that those devas tend to fall pretty far when they don't have their pleasures. And when you're looking at someone's entertainment, what kind of values you're picking up? The values of people who want to make money out of you. And when Hollywood tries to have a little moral, are their morals really in line with the Dharma, or are they going someplace else? You have to ask yourself, what are you taking on as you indulge in these pleasures? You realize you have to make a trade. By putting aside these pleasures, one, you give more space to your mind to actually get into concentration. And two, you give yourself more motivation to get into concentration. If you can't find immediate pleasures through the senses in these ways, you turn your desire for pleasure, you turn your desire for happiness into the concentration itself. So you develop the space, you develop the right attitudes, and you develop the motivation for getting the mind higher and higher in its concentration. So you're making a trade, and it's an advantageous trade. Ultimately, you're trading the burning for the freedom of an extinguished fire, which in those days meant total release. So it all depends on how you talk to yourself, the images you hold in mind, and even the way you breathe. When you think about the pleasures you're missing, notice how you breathe, how it's actually aggravating. The mind has this habit of using the breath to aggravate a particular defilement. Well, learn how to use the breath for the sake of the Dharma. Breathe calmly around thoughts of renunciation, of the freedom that comes with renunciation, the joy of restraint. Have positive breath associations, positive perceptions, positive ways of talking to yourself. This way you can find the pleasure that's there to be found in the practice of renunciation, in these precepts of sense restraint. It's all a matter of going back to that question, what when I do will lead to my long-term welfare and happiness? Learn to think in terms of the long-term. Then use whatever skills you have. The mind skills for fabricating things, which is already good, fabricating defilements. Convert those skills to fabricating motivation to practice the Dharma, to find joy in the Dharma. After all, the Buddha said, delight in the Dharma, delight in abandoning, delight in developing. These are among the forms of delight that lead to the total end of the defilements, total freedom for the mind. But it's a delight that has to be cultivated. And it requires some wisdom to see the value of cultivating and want to cultivate it. But that's why we turn to the Dharma to begin with. To develop the wisdom that will set us free.